are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Okay, here we are on a Wednesday Locked On Podcast Network crossover. Brian Peacock here with you, host of Locked On 49ers. I'm with Matt Derry, host of Locked On Lions. We've got a Week 2 matchup here at Levi's Stadium on Sunday. Both teams coming in 0-1. Matt Derry, how you doing today, Matt?
I'm doing all right, Brian. Boy, I can't say the same about the Lions. It has been an absolute dumpster fire this week, and really all of preseason. I can't remember a time that fans were this down about a team this fast.
That game, so this is what's crazy from my perspective on the Lions is a guy that comes on the show every week with me, Nick Winkler. We did a podcast and we recorded Monday night, and it happened to be about halftime of that Monday night football game. And so we're talking about the teams and the Lions, and we're thinking, yeah, the bad team here is the Jets. The Lions are going to be a pretty good team. It's a tough North division, you know, but we're like, well, we like the 49ers to bounce back against the Lions. And the line that we went to my bookie, the line was 3.5, 49ers are favorites. And I was still thinking, you know, hey, we like the 49ers here. And then I went and had dinner. And then later on, I came back and I looked at the score and I was like, no, that can't be right. It couldn't be 48-17. And then I had to go back and watch the game later on Game Pass. And that was an unbelievable second half. And the line actually moved 2 points overnight just from that game, just from the second half of that football game. That was unbelievable.
It really was, Brian. And what's going on here in Detroit, and my listeners know this here on Locked On Lions, is I think everybody was sort of waiting for that switch to be flipped with Matt Patricia after what was a brutal preseason. Many fans here were like, hey, we don't care about preseason. We want to see the result when it really counts. And to lose the way they lost on Monday night and to get absolutely shredded by a rookie quarterback and a 5-win football team from a year ago is completely unacceptable, because here, this is not a rebuild. Bob Quinn, the general manager, hired his buddy, a guy with Patriot experience, the Patriot way. And he was hired to take a 9-7 football team that Jim Caldwell had at a consistent level at 9-7 and take them to 10-6 or 11-5. And right now, the way this team looks and is playing, they look like a 4-5 win football team. It's unbelievable. What about in San Francisco?
Well, San Francisco, I think everybody was pretty, you know, I think most people knew that it was going to be a tough matchup in week one. So it was, you know, a tough game on the road against a very good football team that upgraded their quarterback, and they were already NFC championship game caliber team. And so the 49ers looked a little sloppy on offense, but I think there were some things to take away for the 49ers in that game, because the defense continually was able to give the ball back and they didn't fold. And at some point it was 24-6 and you thought maybe this is going to be a blowout, and it didn't turn out to be that way. And so the defense kept giving the ball back to the offense. The offense couldn't do anything with it once they had it. You know, they missed a lot of opportunities. And so you can really see how they could clean some things up on offense and be okay. And so basically what happened is the 49ers didn't do the thing that the Lions did, where it just snowballed on them. And they looked like they were able to, on the road in a tough environment, at least hang in there. And then if you clean some things up, you can still see where this team can be pretty good this year and win a lot of games. So
the thing I don't understand about the Niners, I'm sorry, Brian.
Yeah, sure.
The thing I don't understand about the Niners, and this is Brian Peacock on Locked On Niners, Matt Derry, Locked On Lions. You gave this kid all this money, Garoppolo, and he's going to be good. But what about the weapons he has around him? I don't see much there. It baffles me that the guys he has around him are not very good.
You know, I think from the inside perspective, I think from inside the building in Santa Clara, the 49ers really feel good about the talent they have. And I think from an outside perspective, I can definitely see where you see the names that are out there and you're thinking, okay, Marquise Goodwin was a guy who didn't do much for 4 years in Buffalo. And then he comes in and now he's your, you know, your number two or your number 1A receiver. Pierre Garçon's the wrong side of 30. And then you've got a bunch of young guys aside from that. You've got, you know, a second-year tight end. And the running back position, you got a, you brought in a backup from Minnesota last year in Jerick McKinnon. He's hurt, and now you have a journeyman running back in Alfred Morris and an undrafted free agent from last year in Matt Breida. So when you just look at the names, and it's not an impressive group, but I think the 49ers don't view it that way. I think the 49ers really felt good about their skill position talent, especially coming into this season, and thought they had something, and thought they had something to work with. And I'm sort of in between on that. I think they could have been a little bit more urgent about adding some talent. I don't think, you know, signing Dez Bryant or anything was something the 49ers needed to do. I don't think they needed to chase names. But I think what the 49ers are doing, and I think it's probably the right way to go about things, is there's still some places where they can upgrade the roster, but they're taking it slow, and they're not trying to hurry the situation up, and they're not trying to take the fast track to success here. They're trying to build this thing long term. So I think they're going to continue to add talent, and I think you have a point to where there's not a lot to hang your hat on. You know, they don't have a Julio Jones. They don't have a stud running back that they can hang their hat on right now, and that would definitely help out their $135 million quarterback. But they're building it slow. They have some young players. Dante Pettis caught a touchdown pass last week. I think they're still going to have to figure out what they want to do at running back next offseason now, because you don't really know how Jerick McKinnon is going to come off of that ACL injury. And there is an out in the contract. It was front-loaded, so they can really get out of that contract at any time now following the 2018 season. So it'll be interesting how they add talent and how they build it and how they view things after this year. But there's some talent they can add on the offensive side of the ball and on the defensive side of the ball as well. But a lot of young players, and I think from the outside looking in, I think when people look at this roster that don't know the players very well, they might think that there's a lot less talent than I think the 49ers believe they have in the building.
That's interesting. When you talk about Detroit a little bit, the question is going to come up, Brian, how good is this roster? Is it overrated? I've come up with a phrase, and I came up with this many years ago when I was doing sports radio here. There's good, and then there's Lions good. Like, are you a good player, or are you just Lions good? Like, Louis Delmas, who was a free safety here for a year, was always Lions good, but then when he left Detroit, he wasn't anything. And I think sometimes we look at players and say, oh, man, Golden Tate's put up some great numbers. He's a very good player. But is he... Is he more Lions good? Because we just haven't had much here. One playoff win in 60 years, you know, winning, having not won the division since 93, not won a playoff game since 91. It's embarrassing. So how many of these guys, Darius Slay is very good. He'd be Lions good. He'd be really good. Mm-hmm. Matthew Stafford is good. But how many of these guys on this roster are just Lions good and not really good? And We're going to find out this Sunday how good this football team is. If they go out to San Francisco and get their doors blown off again, there's going to be major problems. Because right now up front, offensive line could not block for the run game or for Stafford the other day, which was really disappointing because GM Bob Quinn put a lot of time and effort and finances into that O-line. And the D-line is brutal. Ziggy Ansah's making $18 million a year. We're going to find out today what kind of injury he has and how long he's going to be out. Left the game Monday night with a shoulder problem. They've not been able to rush the passer. They gave Darnold way too much time to throw. The one time they got in his face, he threw a pick six. The run defense has been bad. So it's been a struggle right now up front for this team. And you look at the Niners, what you guys have, you got what, three number one picks across that D line. How are those guys working out so far?
When it comes to the 49ers D line, the one thing that stands out is they have those stud, big-bodied, bigger ends, or in DeForest Buckner's case, who started out as a defensive end for a 3-4 scheme that the 49ers had when they drafted him. He's been moved over to the 3-technique playing tackle. But all three of those guys are really big-bodied power rushers, and they're pretty good from the interior on third downs. But what they do lack still, even though they've spent three first-round picks on defensive linemen, they still don't have that speed edge rusher that can really come in and clean up, and a guy that you can expect to get double-digit sacks every year. And, well, this year it might be DeForest Buckner anyway from the inside that gets double-digit sacks, starting off with 2.5 sacks in week 1 in Minnesota. So if those guys continue to develop, they're going to have push and they're going to have pressure on the quarterbacks. But the one thing they still lack is that outside pass rusher. And again, it kind of goes back to what I said earlier about the offensive side of the ball. They're still building things and there's still some things they can add and still some talent they can add to this team. And if you look on defense, I think that outside edge rusher is the one thing. But what they do have covered is big, powerful interior defensive linemen or outside-in guys that play outside on the run and then can move inside and rush the passer from the inside. Those guys get a lot of pressure, and we'll see how many sacks they're able to collect because a lot of those guys, the MO really has been that they create pressure, but they can't quite get to the quarterback as often as you'd like. And DeForest Buckner looks like he's turned the page on that, and hopefully he gets home a lot more often for the 49ers.
Little crossover podcast, Locked On Lions, Locked On 49ers on this Wednesday. It's brought to you by MyBookie. Brian mentioned it before, and you did, Brian. MyBookie is such a great site. They're sponsoring what we do here at Locked On. And people got to know, if you're going to bet on games and you want to do that, you know, betting with MyBookie is the way to go. I mean, they pay when you win, which is great. And everything you need is right there on the screen, whether it's on the app, on your phone, or even online. It's a very, very easy site. What do your listeners think?
Oh, my listeners have great feedback for MyBookie, and I just actually looked at the MyBookie lines. That game has moved even further from 5.5 now to 6. So it started the week, Niners favored 3.5, 49ers now favored by 6 points. So that bet I really liked at the beginning of the week is starting to look a little bit more dicey for the 49ers. I think I still might like 6, but if that gets to 7, that starts to get tough in the NFL to bet on teams winning by a touchdown or more.
Well, join now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar. Like Brian said, the lines are right there. If you want to bet on the game, just go to MyBookie, use the promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, Locked On, to activate the offer. Visit the website MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid with MyBookie. All right, so Brian Peacock, let's talk about Jimmy G a little bit, the matchup with Matt Stafford. Stafford really had a rough game Monday night, 4 picks, 2 pick sixes. The Jets said they could read what Stafford was doing and picked up on his cues and keys. Garoppolo also off a pretty lousy game last Sunday. How many of those interceptions were his fault?
You know, a lot of them were. The timing was kind of bad last week for the 49ers and Jimmy Garoppolo. He missed George Kittle in the back of the end zone that could have been a touchdown that would have really changed things. There was one play where George Kittle had a really huge drop that didn't help things and could have been a long touchdown for the 49ers. The very next play, he sort of threw off his back foot. It was later on they said there was some miscommunication. The wide receiver, young wide receiver, Kendrick Bourne ran the wrong route, and so that ended up being a pick six on the very next play after the long touchdown drop. So that was a 14-point swing right there for the 49ers. So that was the moment where I really thought the 49ers might get blown out, and they ended up, you know, on defense at least, holding serve and kept giving the ball back to the offense. There was another throw that he made on a slant route to the rookie Dante Pettis, and he just threw it too far inside, and he just missed the throw, and Xavier Rhodes had an interception there. So not a great day for Garoppolo. He was pressured a lot. He's got this lightning quick release. I think sometimes he relies on it too much, and so he thinks he can fit everything in there, and he throws off his back foot as pressure is in his face. And I think a couple of throws he missed long, and that's kind of been his MO. When he misses high or he misses long, because he doesn't get his bottom half into the throw if there's some pressure in his face. And so I think he's going to clean up a lot of that stuff. And like I mentioned, there's some things that you took away from that game, and timing-wise with his receivers might not be, you know, on exactly. He lost Marquise Goodwin early in that game, so he's thrown to Dante Pettis, so it might have looked a little bit different for some routes. And so you hope he can clean that up, because if not, it might be a bad situation for the 49ers. But everything's still positive vibes-wise, and so he just missed a couple throws, a couple big drops. I think there was 4 drops for the 49ers that were definitely not on Garoppolo. But lefty, less than 50% passing for Garoppolo. So not a good start, but definitely you can see where those things could be cleaned up. And hopefully for the 49ers at home opener at Levi's Stadium, that's when they'll get things cleaned up in week 2. What about Stafford? 4 interceptions? What was happening there? Was the sign-stealing thing for real?
Yes, it was. The Jets all said it. And what's interesting about that is Jim Bob Cooter, the offensive coordinator, is the lone, well, not the lone coach, David Walker, the running backs coach, stayed. But really, when Matt Patricia came in, he blew out a lot of the coaching staff. Al Golden's another one that stayed. But all in all, they elected to do this. They elected to keep Jim Bob Cooter as offensive coordinator. And that was something that Matt Stafford went to the Lions and said that he was for. So you'd figure, though, after what took place last year and how the offense has a ton of weapons and a ton of guys that can make plays, but they underachieved, that there would be some new wrinkles, there would be some new looks. And instead, after one game, the first game of the year, you've got Darren Lee of the Jets, you've got other guys on that defense, basically telling the media after the game, we knew what was coming. And, you know, they were telegraphing stuff. They could read Stafford's cues and keys at the line when he was making hand gestures and changes and checks. And they knew the screen pass was coming. They knew the little hitch route with Theo Riddick was coming. Lee stepped in front of it and ran it back for a touchdown. So that's a bad sign. I mean, some of that is on Stafford for sure, not recognizing it down on the field. But it's also got to be on the offensive coordinator, Jim Bob Cooter, for just – they've got to make major changes before this game Sunday in a short week to make sure that that the Niner defenders don't pick up on this stuff. It's bad, man. It's like I said, the expectations here for the fans, I think, were not the same as the organization's expectations. But after one week, there are a lot of people questioning if this regime knows what they're doing.
You know, Matt, that brings me to a question. And just looking at this, you mentioned how long it's been since the Lions have really, you know, they kind of, you know, I love that term you used about being good or being Lions good. And they've always been just sort of in the middle of the pack and can't get over the hump. You talked about their not being able to win playoff games. Is there a sort of a section of the fan base or, you know, maybe even people in the building that think, okay, you know, it's not the youngest team. This team was built to, I think, compete right now. And I thought they were going to be able to compete. Now, of course, you don't want to overreact to week one.
Right.
But is there a group of people that believe that maybe Stafford is someone that they should say, okay, look, he's had his run. Let's move on from Stafford while we can get something for him now and rebuild this thing. And maybe there's another quarterback out there somewhere that can get us over the hump.
Now, I think right now most fans are on board with Stafford and they know he's going to be here a long time. If he has another really bad game Sunday and throws more interceptions and can't lead this team, then I think Stafford will get the brunt of the blame. This week, it's all been on Matt Patricia. There's been reports out there. Mike Garofolo, NFL Network, others have reported it before him that there's some unrest with veteran players and Patricia based on how training camp was run. And, you know, now people are talking about what kind of language does he use around the players. That's not a good sign. Patricia and Quinn are taking the heat right now. But if Stafford doesn't get it turned around, it'll switch over to him because Lion fans always are going to find somebody to blame. And I don't blame them. Like you said, this is not a rebuild. They feel like they've got some very good wide receivers with Galladay, Marvin Jones, and Golden Tate. They've revamped that whole offensive line. The secondary is pretty darn good. Darius Slay's a Pro Bowler. So is Glover Quinn. You know, and the run game is better. I mean, they've upgraded with the Garrett Blunt and Kerryon Johnson as opposed to the cavalcade of mediocrity that they've had running the football since Barry Sanders retired. So there's no excuse for this team to get blown out at home by the Jets. And now they got to go on the road to San Francisco and we'll see what happens. But Stafford should hopefully bounce back. Be interesting to see the Niners defense without Reuben Foster. That's a guy that many Lions fans, Brian, really wanted to draft ahead of Jared Davis. Foster looked like he had a pretty good year last year, but has he been too much of a headache off the field or no?
No, I don't think so. I think there was a moment where 49ers fans, and look, I think the reason the 49ers ended up drafting a linebacker in the third round in Fred Warner is because they still weren't sure about Reuben Foster's situation. And so Reuben Foster, people are feeling a lot better about him now. And so the 2-game suspension is not a huge deal. I think now it's like about football and if he can stay healthy because he comes so hard when he tackles people. He runs through people. He hurts himself and he hurts them and he hurts his teammates. So like he's just a human missile. So staying healthy, I think, is going to be the number one key for Reuben Foster. But really, I talked about DeForest Buckner earlier. And I think Reuben Foster is the other guy who has a chance to be a star on that 49ers defense. And he's going to have to wait till week three to show that this year. But he's an absolute stud. It's unbelievable. He's moving at a different speed than everybody else. And it's not just athleticism. He sees it. He is so instinctive. And he knows what's coming before it comes. And he's got just this gear to be able to bring power in like two steps, and so it's pretty insane to watch, and he's definitely a different player, and it's obvious when he's on the field. But they did draft that rookie linebacker in Fred Warner, who he had the green dot on his helmet, playing inside linebacker, making the calls. He's been awesome from all reports. And he came out in week one, led the 49ers in tackles, 12 tackles. He had a tackle for loss. He's got athleticism. He's all over the field. So the 49ers kind of lucked out, I think. They might not have been targeting linebacker so early in the draft, but because of Reuben Foster's situation, ended up turning out to be better. And then they ended up drafting this guy in the third round, Fred Warner out of BYU, who looks like a stud all of a sudden. The 49ers might have one of the better dynamic inside linebacker tandems in the league with Warner and Foster going forward, and they're going to have to wait till week three to get that started. But things are looking good on the second level for the 49ers, and that's one of the things, and I kind of mentioned that earlier, is they want to, they've talked about they wanted to draft their stars, and of course the Jimmy Garoppolo thing kind of came out of nowhere last Halloween.
Sure.
And
right,
they want to draft their stars, and I think they got that in Reuben Foster. I think they've got that in DeForest Buckner. Fred Warner is another guy who's maybe not star level talent, but he's going to be a very good starter in the league. It looks like they've got Jaquaski Tartt at safety that a lot of people around the league don't really know about. They've got Adrian Colbert, who came out of nowhere as a seventh round pick for the 49ers. They drafted him to play corner. He ended up jumping in and playing safety when Jimmy Ward got hurt, and then just took the job. And he looks great in that center field role, playing the single high safety in the 49ers cover three scheme. So they have a lot of good players that I think the league doesn't know about yet, especially guys like Fred Warner and Adrian Colbert on defense, and then some rookie wide receivers. Richie James, who was inactive last year, is a guy, or last week, a guy I love. And of course, the rookie Dante Pettis, who showed up last week. He might play a lot if Marquise Goodwin can't go. So a lot of players the league has yet to learn about for the 49ers that I think those guys have to play big, and those guys have to develop for the 49ers really to make some noise and to battle for a playoff spot here in 2018. And I have a question real quick about the Lions roster when it comes to running backs. Kerryon Johnson, you drafted him. It looked like just a complete timeshare in week one at the running back position, and then all of a sudden you get in a hole and you can't run the ball much anyways. But Kerryon Johnson, LeGarrette Blount, of course Theo Riddick is that third down prototype receiving running back. Were you surprised about how they distributed carries between the running backs? Is it just a straight up?
Well, because I'm going to interrupt you, Brian,
sure.
Because no one knows. They got down early. Stafford forced to throw the football. And to tell you that I learned something from week one about the running game, I didn't. Blount got all the carries in the first quarter. They finally gave Kerryon Johnson a chance in the second. He had some nice carries, had a screen pass that went for about 8 or 9 yards. And then once they got behind after a 17-17 tie, they abandoned the run. The offensive line did not get a good enough push. Blount got hurt. We'll see how he is today. But I think eventually this is going to be Kerryon Johnson's team. Theo Riddick is the third down guy out of the backfield. But I still think they want to establish a power run game with LeGarrette Blount. But as far as Kerryon, I like the pick. I love what he did in the preseason, but I need to see more, before I can make any kind of definitive assessment on it. All right, Brian, we got to wrap this up. Matt Derry, Brian Peacock, Locked On Lions, Locked On Niners podcast, the crossover. Quick prediction, Brian, I'll start with you for Sunday.
I've got the 49ers, and I mentioned it before. I told my listeners, hey, this is a lock. 49ers are bouncing back. And then that was before I saw what happened after halftime in that Monday Night Football game with the Lions. I like where the 49ers are going. They're going to clean some things up on offense. I've got 27-20 49ers, so still covering that 6-point MyBookie line.
I'm with you. I think it's going to be worse than that. I think the Lions are reeling right now. Going out west, never easy, especially on a short week. I'm with you about 27. I'll say maybe 27-14. Lions have some offensive issues they need to work out. You guys not having Reuben Foster should help the Lions. But, I think we're both in lockstep on this one, Brian. And this was a lot of fun, my friend. Best of luck the rest of the way. And this has been a lot of fun. Locked On Niners, Locked On Lions crossover podcast. Brian Peacock, you are the man. Thanks, buddy.
And that's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Thanks to Matt for joining me on this Wednesday crossover episode. Thanks everybody for listening. Be back tomorrow with 49ers fangirl Tracy Sandler, and Friday show we're going to do a film Friday with Ted Wynn from The Athletic. All right, talk to you guys then right here on Locked On 49ers.